I've changed gears in midstream, not exactly in midstream, because I've kind of been in the river the whole time, but I had to, well, I guess that's what that means, you're in the river, you change in the river. But I had my mind set on teaching a certain thing, and I still will. But I wanted to say that that series of teachings that I've been doing, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and I skipped it last week, or last time on purpose, because I have to hit the needs, and you know how that goes. But I will continue that series because it's so vital. And I'm going to intersperse it as we move forward. And the next teaching is the third part of faith and love, believing in love. And if you remember, it was the faith and love, the believing in love part that you have to understand before you can grasp what it means in Ephesians, where it talks about the eyes of your understanding. And so I've already taught two parts of that, and I have yet to teach the third part, which is the final one for believing in love. And I'm going to do that in a fellowship, not in an area meeting, just so I can get it online for everybody. And then I'll start the other series, or the real series of this, because that's really the prelude, just as soon as we can, okay? But in the meantime, I'm not going to do that today, so that's the changing the horse thing. I am going to do something, though, that should interest you. We're going to talk about the deceiver, and we're going to talk about how to harness the power of the word so that you can defeat the deceiver in your life. I believe it's absolutely essential that this information is released. Before we do that, I need you to talk to me. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. En español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Fantastic. You guys are really doing great on that. Do you believe all that stuff?
Yes.
Do you ever say it to yourself throughout the day?
All the time.
It's really something.
Parts of it.
Parts of it. Okay.
What's it?
Well, what originally inspired me to teach this subject was I have searched high and low in my heart and kept pondering the word just over and over for a long, long time now, years, on how to use the word or how the word addresses dealing with anxiety. And it's not just, you know, you get anxious because your boss is coming to your office. It's not that kind of anxiety. It's the kind of anxiety that controls you. It's the kind of anxiety that takes your sleep from you. It's the kind of anxiety that robs you of life. It's the kind of anxiety that you, in all of your glory, would label torment. That's what I'm talking about. And I've wondered, how do you address this from the Word? Because it is a problem in people's lives. I believe that every one of us here deal with anxiety. I believe that everybody on the phone line in this meeting deals with anxiety. I believe that everybody out there in the world has some form of anxiety in the torment category. Now, there's very few people that probably don't fit in that, but I'd say very few. And because of that, we need to know how to deal with it from God's perspective. A lot of times, your deliverance is a thought away. Just a thought. And I know you've heard that before. If you could just change your thinking. But in order to do that with some of these magnanimous mental dilemmas, i.e. torment, you actually have to have a paradigm shift. Something has to just so rattle your perspective structure that you actually change the way you think. I don't believe that's happened for you. If it had happened, would you not have anxiety? Or would you still have it? There's got to be something in the Word. Now you see what I've been searching for. There's got to be something in the Word that will change you. Change you. And it's got to be the Word. It can't be something I say. Well, maybe I could lead you to the Word. But it's got to be the Word. And I don't know, I thought I'd give it a shot. Okay? This might not be the end of it. But I'm really worried about you. I'm worried about the torment that you find yourself in. Now, if I can get through all your glory, just for a moment, you'll probably admit that you do have torment. I would hope that you do. That you actually are tormented at times. That there's times when you can't go to sleep, or it wakes you up, or it ruins your day. I don't like saying things like that when I really feel that people are rejecting it. It's a difficult position to be in. It's a difficult position to be a teacher and to have to say something like that, which basically shatters the euphoric visuals that you present. You don't want anybody to think that something's wrong. You don't want anybody to think that I'm going through that. Do you? No. You want to look pretty. You want to look perfect. You want to make everybody think that everything's great and that you're the go-to person. Come to me. That's great. I want you to be that person. But I also want you delivered from torment. And I say, enough's enough. I say, it's time to draw the line in the sand. I say, stop being afraid of the very fears that cause you to be afraid. Instead, take a stand. Now, we all know that much. But it's the rest. What does the Word say? How do we do this? Well, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's what it says. And the bottom line is that we have to learn how to resist him, because that's where your torment issues from. You've got to learn how to resist him. And you've got to do it. You can't just ignore this. We're supposed to be alert. And we have to become firm in our stands on God's word. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Well, who is this Satan? This roaring lion thing? Satan is not God's opposite. God is all-powerful. Omnipotent? There you go.
Omnipotent.
Omnipotent. I want to say omniscient.
Omniscient,
that's a tough word. These are really hard words. God knows how to say them, though. That's why he's God. No, I'm just kidding. But God is number one, and there is no equal. There is nothing that equates to God, only God. There's no opposite of God. And I know how we use the term. We've got God, who's our Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, and so on and so forth. There's many terms. And then we call the devil, or Satan, we call him the God of this world. But he is not God's opposite. Don't put him up there. He was an angel, a fallen angel, and that is not a God. Now, I know that he's titled the God of this world, but that does not make him God's opposite at all. So you got to change how you think about Satan. He is not God's opposite. You're not dealing with an all-powerful being at all. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, there you have it. Satan is merely an angel under God's judgment. Satan attempts to have power over Christians, but 1 John 4:4 stands. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And don't you ever forget that. Wow, this has got to be at the foundation. John chapter 17. How'd you like me saying that part about torment? About, I know you deal with it. I know you'd like everybody to think that you don't. I love you. But doggone it, we're human. And we're all afflicted by tribulation, it says. Tribulation is mental pressure. We need to know how to deal with this stuff. What's really bad is when you're tormented and you don't handle it and you fall back on religious piety and make people think that you're so good, that you're so right, that there couldn't be anything wrong with you. And then you start lashing out at people. Then you start hurting people because of your pain. This is what's really bad. You wonder, how do I control my behavior? Because I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I'm too tormented to do that. Now, you don't go tell people that. God forbid that you'd ever say something like that to somebody. But in reality, when the torment gets so great, your behavior turns sour. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He doesn't want you living the agape lifestyle. The whole thrust of it is to get you to stop agape. The whole thrust of it is for you to have such a sour behavior that then you get labeled. Well, she's not very nice. Well, I'm not going to talk to him. or you know how it goes. I don't have to explain all that stuff. You've been around. We're just kind of tearing the weeds apart a little bit just to get down to that one nut and bolt that we got to tighten up. But John 17, verse 15. Jesus prayed for us. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He knew what these people were going through. He prayed for them, but you can find out where he also prayed for us. Same thing. He wants us kept from that evil one. You know, Satan always tries to discourage Christians. He tempts us to sin. He tries to get us to not believe God. He's our opponent. Just because you don't see him doesn't mean he's not there. And this is a real problem with many, many people. Well, Jesus didn't see him either. Nobody sees him unless he manifests himself. But Jesus prayed, keep these people from the evil and the evil one. Ephesians chapter 6. Don't be fooled, not even for a moment. You got to understand that this situation exists. Satan is referred to as the accuser, the deceiver, the father of lies, the murderer. I already said deceiver. The adversary. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world," is not in the text, "against spiritual wickedness from on high." That's how it should read. Well, we know we're up against something. Even if you don't understand verse 12, you know you're up against something, okay? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, knowing that we're up against something, and Paul knew this, and that's why he said by revelation in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, I turned to 1 Corinthians, silly me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We are not to be ignorant of this subject, of Satan. Absolutely not. There is no need to be afraid of Satan and the stuff that he does and this subject. No need whatsoever. And I don't want you to focus on the darkness. I want you to focus on what the Word says, the light. Always the light. Matthew chapter 4. Well, we need to know how Satan works. We need to know what he does. And we know, and I'm just telling you, I guess if you don't know, it's in Matthew chapter 4, that Satan is primarily in the business to deceive us. He's trying to make something look like it's not. That's his business. That's his job. And if he can get you thinking that something is that isn't, he's done it. Now think about anxiety. In my opinion, when you get anxious about something and all those thoughts that come in your head, they're all lies. There's not a bit of truth to any of them. None. So you got to ask the question, who am I giving place to? Yeah, you have to ask that. Now if you're not strong enough to ask that, then have somebody ask you. When they sense, and they always deal with you when you have your anxious moments, just say, okay, when I get like this, I want you to ask me a question. You know, where did these come from? Are these true? And who's the one that deceives? Well, that would be the father of lies. Okay? Wow. It's all about deception. Sometimes I don't even know how to talk when I'm teaching because, you know, when you think about this kind of thing, it's so big and it's so disgusting. Then what do? And people get so hurt. And then they make up reasons to keep being like that. Not only to keep the thoughts going, but also to maintain the bad behavior. Because you know when you get anxious, you turn sour, which isn't agape. Now, how much more basic do we need to get? I'm not trying to chide you, hurt you, make you feel badly. That's not the purpose of this. But I'm trying to expose you to something. That's my job. I'm not a deceiver. Now, I could be labeled as a deceiver, because if people think that I'm wrong or, I don't know, they take a stand against me for whatever, they've labeled me as a deceiver, basically. They say, now, you're part of the bandwagon with the father of lies written all over it. And I'm not trying to do that to you. I want you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. I want you to be happy. If you're not happy, you're tormented. Happiness is a state of mind, yes, I understand that. But if you can't get your mind to that state, we got problems. So I'm not trying to deceive you, but I'm also not behaving badly to you. I'm not chiding you. I'm not trying to make you feel badly. I want you to be delivered. I love you. And I want you to feel so good in life. But I don't want you hiding behind the father of lies. How could you say that to me? Well, if you're anxious and you have torment and you're believing lies, where do they come from? If you don't want to accept that kind of logic, I don't know what you're willing to accept then. I really don't want to talk about it anymore. But you got to get to the place where you're willing to accept the word, the logos, the logic of the word. And what I'm doing is I'm taking this and funneling the concept of the deceiver into one specific area of torment, anxiety, in hopes that you will receive it and you will be delivered. That for once in your life, you can actually stop those thoughts. And it's going to come down to that phrase, the father of lies. You got to get to the place where you believe that it's the father of lies that's deceiving you. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He's the tempter. Revelation 12. Verse 10. He's also the accuser of the brethren. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's what we're dealing with, folks. And if that turns you on, you're going to love John 8. Man, I want you to get so excited about this. I want you to see yourself free. Free and happy. Simple. Sweet. Filled. Overflowing with agape. That would mean your actions. John 8:4 John 8:44 Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he is the father of lies. And I found this really interesting observation. This man named Dr. Anderson, he observed, if I were to tempt you, you would know it. If I were to accuse you, you would know it. But if I were to deceive you, you wouldn't know it. The power of Satan is in the lie. If you remove the lie, you remove the power. Gosh, if you could just remember that for the next 1,000 years. And so our quest is to remove the lie, the deception. God help you that you could remove the lie and stop believing things that don't exist. And this can be in any area of life. Wow. Philippians chapter 1. Do I have your attention?
Yep.
Well, how do we confront Satan's lies? That's what it comes down to. Well, what about if your feelings are all messed up one day? You don't feel like a Christian. You just feel rotten. You don't feel happy. You don't feel accepted. You don't feel loved. You feel miserable. You're depressed. You just feel terrible. You want to feel better. You want to be happy. You want to have joy in your life. You get so disappointed that you think God's given up on you. He doesn't want you anymore. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, God's not going to give up on you. But you could still be having those bad feelings. How do we confront Satan's lies? With the truth. You've got to know where to go in the Bible for the truth. And then you put it in your head. You do not let him stand there and lie to you just because you can't see him. If I were to accuse you, you'd know it. If I were to tempt you, you'd know it. But if I were to deceive you, you wouldn't know it. And when you're being deceived, you're dealing with Satan. Period. You got to go to the truth. Romans 8:1, you know that by heart. There is therefore now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. And God's not going to leave you. So if you get so disappointed in your life, your feelings get so ruined that you just don't even want to take another breath that day, think about that. So use God's word to confront Satan's lies. Have you ever thought, you know, if God really loved me, I wouldn't be having all these problems? I have. Definitely in times in my life. more than I'd like to admit sometimes. You know, when you say stuff like that, you actually can convince yourself that you're speaking truth. That you're so logical that I should write a paper. I mean, my hypothesis is, my thesis statement is, and then you start writing about if God really loved me, he wouldn't be doing this to me. You know, it's just crazy what we do with our thoughts. Well, what does the Word say? In John chapter 15, Jesus says something that you might find rather interesting. John 15, verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And Jesus taught these disciples about love, about continuance, that it wasn't going to stop. But they had to deal with their crazy thoughts, whether God loved them or not. So do we. Our situations in life often dictate our thought process. And so we've got to get to the place where we confront Satan's lies with the truth when our thought process is getting messed up. 1 John chapter 4. If you ever get tricked into thinking that God doesn't love you anymore because of what you're going through, you got to go to the Word. And I already know you know that God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You know these verses. You know that his love is eternal. You know that you've got eternal life. Yet you get deceived into thinking strange things because you're sick or because you're broke or because of anything in life. You got to use the Word to confront the deception. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. That's love. And 1 John chapter 3 again, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Let's say that you're discouraged about some sin, something that you did in your life. And we all go through this. And then Satan's accusing you, telling you that God's never going to forgive you. You're always going to be a bad person. And so you're always dealing with this bad feeling. You're always dealing with this thing that just seems to want to take you down. Well, you know from 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you ever did make a mistake, that God's forgiven you. The Word's so clear about his forgiveness. So you know that that stuff Satan's saying, accusing you, it's a lie. And it can even get deeper than that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. You know, you could be dealing with attraction to somebody else, and you could convince yourself that it's okay to be sexually involved with somebody, and you convince yourself that that's the truth. See, you're always trying to convince yourself that whatever you're doing is true. That's the beaten road. You're always trying to convince yourself that whatever you're going through is true. It's got to be true. I'm thinking it. And that's where you got to be so careful. But let's say that that happens with attraction to somebody else. You know, we love each other, so it can't be a problem with God. And then you get into this crazy stuff, but you got to go to the Word. And in marriage, for instance, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. It's God's will that we're sanctified, that we're set apart, and that we should avoid any type of immorality. And we know that from agape as well. So you could be dealing with these kind of things. And so in dealing with Satan, you've got to know how to handle your feelings. You've got to know how to handle your thoughts. And you also have to know how to handle Satan's lies, the things that dictate what is true or not. God's word is truer than anything we feel, think, or see. But Satan comes along and tries to cloud our thinking. He tries to put it over us and make us think that God is depriving us from something. But it's God who created us and loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And so the bottom line is that in order to deal with Satan, we have to know when Satan's lying. And we have to get our minds to that place where we perceive this stuff. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. So far it's pretty simple, feelings, thoughts, or the actual deception. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We know that everybody goes through this. All other Christians go through this. If you're going to be set free, according to John 8, when Jesus said, if you shall know the truth shall set you free, make you free. And if the truth shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I think that's 32 and 36. We know that the truth will set us free, but in order to get set free, you got to know the truth. So we're told to resist the devil. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. We're to be firm in the faith. Well, this faith is not a feeling. This faith that we are born again into is reality structured by the very iron girders of truth. So there's no feeling involved in this. It's a choice. We have to take God at his word or we don't. It's as simple as that. And to gain freedom in the spiritual battle, we have to take those thoughts, those feelings, and those temptations and ask, well, what does God's word say about it? You know, in John 17, when Jesus prayed to the Father, he asked them to protect them from the evil one. You know what he said right after that? Did anybody read it? Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. That's how you get set apart. That's what sanctify means. Wow, this is simple, isn't it? You mean all that nonsense I go through every day, the torments, the anxieties and all that I have? It all can be taken care of by being set apart? But you have to do that part. It's the truth that does that. Have you been waiting for somebody to do it for you? That doesn't work. you'll get a good feeling for a couple seconds if somebody says the right thing, but then, boom, it's back. And you've got to get to the place where you let the Word of God separate you. That's what Jesus prayed for. He wanted that to happen so bad for them. And then in John 8:32, I already told you that the truth shall make you free. That's what it does. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to be free. And I want you to behave properly. I don't want you being so anxious that you hurt other people and then they get all mad at you and then you got to deal with that. So what do you do when you get tormented with anxiety and then your behavior turns sour and then other people get angry at you? What do you do with that part? How do you fix that? By then turning into some weak, sickly person that's always anxious and that people always come to expect your anxiety and bad behavior and they label you? How do you deal with that? Why not remove it? Or do you want to make some people think that you're okay and you just maltreat others? So you get these divisions going. How do you deal with that? What are you going to do with the repercussions of all that? You think that people don't see it, understand it, wish it wasn't there? Well, I think everybody sees it. Our Christian walks are supposed to be above mention. I mean, so pristine. But you don't find quality like that in most people today because they don't want to do that. It takes work. It takes work to say, I'm going to go to the Word for everything and let it separate me. Who wants to do that? Especially if you're in the middle of a situation. Especially if you're anxious. What do you want to do when you get anxious? Do you want to go to the Word and settle yourself down? Or do you want to fight? Do you want to be angry? Do you want to lash out? You know what I'm talking about. What do you want to do? The last thing you'd ever want to do is to sit down and let some words on a page try to fix you. Even though you might go through the motions. I'm telling you, you can't be lazy with this stuff. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? You got to be firm in the faith. But that faith is not a feeling. Faith is talking about Christianity. God in Christ in you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and everything else. It's talking about you standing and a new way of life. It's talking about you embracing what most people disregard. Because if they can get people thinking that they're okay because they wear a cross on their neck or say pious things to some people, but not everybody, because nobody's like that generally, to where you're just real nice to everybody. Usually you pick your friends. And you pick your enemies and you go for it. But we want to get to the place that we have pristine behavior. And so what do? Do you continue serving the Father of Lies? Because there's no anxiety that's worth mentioning. It just has no basis. It's destructive. It's killing you. We've got to get to the place that we take a stand. whom resist steadfast in the faith. And we embrace this faith, the iron girders of truth, as a structure for our very existence. It's not a feeling. We take our feelings and our thoughts and deceptions to the Word. And that's how you confront Satan. Ephesians 1 verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." It's fantastic. We have to take him at his word. God lives in us and empowers us. This is a real and vital situation with the faith and resisting steadfast. James chapter 4. Oh, before you go there, back in Ephesians, I wanted to say one more thing. In Ephesians chapter 6, I find this particularly interesting, verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith," you're to resist steadfast in the faith, but you're to take the shield of faith. Now think about that. If you're resisting steadfast in the faith, and this faith is, like I've said, the iron girders of truth, it's a structure, it's not a feeling. If you're to resist steadfast in the faith, and then it says, take the shield of faith, would it not be part of that structure that you bring out and shield yourself with? That's what it is. It's all part of that structure. You hide yourself in that structure. And you use that shield of faith. Oh, why do we do that though? "Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Well, there you have it. You use that shield. That means you confront Satan's lies with the truth of God's word. Every time one comes at you, you bring up the shield of faith, the structure of faith, which is based on the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have, everyone has a measure of, and the gospel of faith, the word of truth. We take that word and use it. You position it with your feelings. You position it with your thoughts. You position it with a deception. And the deception is what, in large part, creates that anxiety. Wow. It says that we shall be able to quench or extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked. You want to put those fires out? Now tell me that it doesn't burn when you're tormented. You want to put out those fires? That's how you do it. You will be able to extinguish all. A-L-L. All the fiery darts of the wicked. All those flaming arrows of the evil one. And these are the thoughts that seem to come out of nowhere, like flaming arrows. You know what I'm talking about. Wow, where'd that come from? I hate that thing. There it is again. It's a flaming arrow. Don't you want to be simple and pure, sweet, filled with agape? No anxiety. You don't want to fight the next time your husband comes up to you and says something, or your wife comes up and says something. Don't you just want it to be sweet? You don't want to fight when your boss talks to you, or when you talk to your boss, or whatever. In your real situations, don't you want it to be sweet? You got to extinguish all the fiery darts of that evil one, that wicked one. But you have to take the shield of faith. You have to take it. You take it. You don't give up. You don't go, "Oh, I'm too weak to do this." You take it. Take it. Resist steadfast in the faith. You take this. You cannot afford to be passive if James 4:7 is right, whom resist steadfast. You cannot afford to be passive in this spiritual battle. If you're passive, you're as good as dead. And you feel dead when these arrows come and you let them burn at you. You have to actively take God at His word. If you're attacked by a flaming arrow, it's aimed at your mind. Have you ever wondered, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when you get a temptation, because we're dealing with thoughts and feelings and temptations, have you ever thought that you had to give in to temptation? You just have to. Have you ever had that thought? And it's Satan trying to convince you that it's just too much to resist. Sex, drinking, drugs, it's just too much. I have to give in to this. I just can't ignore it anymore. Have you ever had that happen to you? We all have. Sadly. Well, then here's something that you really ought to memorize. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That's crazy, but it's true. But God is faithful, who will not only suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it or to carry on. Sadly, God does not intervene in these temptations in the sense of you not having them. It says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able. And that's how He does it. He gives you an escape route. So that's always there. And if you remember nothing more than the very last part of that verse, you'll be able to bear it. You'll be able to carry on. Then memorize it, because it's truth. So you've got to take thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I really believe that you can harness the power of the Word in your personal life. But I think that you have to get to the place where you understand where these thoughts are coming from. If you lay down to the baptism of the father of lies, you will be immersed in pain and agony that entire time. There is nothing good about it. And you have to learn how to resist it. You have to accept that those lies are what are causing your anxiety, because I know, Percy, if you want to research this and come up with another way to say it or contradict it, I guess that's your business. But as of right now, I've never been able to come up with truth in anxiety, ever. It's all lies. You think that so-and-so thinks this and feels this and says this and does this. It's all lies. All anxiety is lies. Now, there might be a natural form of anxiety, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the torment kind. Second Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to harness your thoughts. thoughts, all thoughts, it doesn't matter which ones. If the thoughts are contrary to God's word, man, you better get on top of it. If the thoughts are contrary to what God says about him or other people, you have to get on top of it. Because your thoughts can become actions, and your actions become habits. And it all starts with the thought. God wants us to trust his word more than we trust our feelings. He wants us to trust his word more than we trust our thoughts. He wants us to trust his word more than we trust how things seem to appear. God's word is truer than anything that you or I may ever think. It's truer than anything that you and I will ever feel. And it's truer than anything that ever appears. You know, in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Steffi, can you read that out loud?
She can in a second.
Which verse?
I haven't said it yet. Ephesians chapter 40, verse 8.
You said Isaiah.
I'm sorry, Isaiah. Yeah, 40. Ephesians chapter 40. Jose's over there going, wow, I'm leaving. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8.
Okay, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
Now, isn't that something? The word of God stands forever. And Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Joy, will you read that?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Isn't that fantastic? It's the word. It's the word of God that does this for us. And then turn to Matthew chapter 7. We need to hear and we need to act on what we've learned. You can't just sit there and not do something. I don't believe that any of you want to be tormented ever again. I think that you all want deliverance from torment. And don't think for a minute that it's the person. Like if somebody comes after you with their bad behavior and they're tormented, it's always the father of lies. Always. It has to be, based on what I've taught you. Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, if that doesn't say something to you, that should just kind of like ooze in your heart. That's so cool. In John 15... you really want to build your house on the rock, but you want to take a stand against that deceiver. He's got no right to your life. How about today being the end of it all? How about from now on when you have anxious moments that you say, oh, that's just the father of lies. It's over with. I'm going to live according to agape. And I'm going to bless people. I'm going to take care of people. It's not about me getting blessed. Have you ever heard that one? I just want to be blessed. Oh, if I could just be blessed today. That's sickening. What about giving to others? What about taking care of other people? You don't have to seek after your own happiness. Just do the word. Verse 10, John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. It's all about the word. So get out there and take care of people. Stop trying to take care of yourself so much. You can stand up to any situation. You can stand up to any feeling, any thought, any deception. Well, you can. Gosh, there's so many verses. I'm going to read another one to you. In Psalm 18. See, what I'm concerned about is, I know you're receiving some of this now, but I want you to be able to go back to this. I want you to really grasp that you can do this. In Psalm 18, verse 46, the Lord liveth and blesseth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. We stand up to any situation, any thought or feeling, and turn to our rock. It's always there. The Word of God, God. We always turn that way. Turn to John 16. It's always about the truth. It's always about getting back to the truth. In John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he or it will guide you into all truth, for it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. It will guide you into all truth. You are never alone in this. You always have that spiritual connection to where you can get where you need to go spiritually. You just have to decide if you want to go there. But it's up to us to confront the lies with the truth and to actively take that shield of faith and use it within the structure of faith and the word of faith so that it extinguishes all fiery darts, every single one. Let's read just a couple things out of Psalms and close. Psalm 114. I never want you to give up. I never want you to feel like you have to give up. Like Satan says, this is too big for you. You can always handle any situation that comes your way. You need to get stronger at picking up that shield of faith and stronger at going to the Word to confront your feelings, your thoughts, and your temptations. You're going to have to, like, it's like going to the gym, you know. You can't just go into the gym and turn into Superman in one day. It takes 2 days. No. You got to get in there and you got to start working it, baby. But Psalm 114, verses 1 and 2. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Well, and Israel his dominion. Psalm, am I in the right one?
I'm reading reading the same thing.
Oh, I got the wrong one written down here. Sorry. I'll just read it to you. Praise be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. I wrote the wrong reference. Psalm 34. I know this is right. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And Psalm 92. Verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night or every night. It's up to you now to decide. How are you going to confront the father of lies? The one who introduces lies into your head, making you think that things that aren't real are. What are you going to do? This has so much more to do than with your current situations, your current interpersonal conflicts. This has to do with the rest of your life. This has to do with who you want to become and how you want to affect other people. This has to do with what you cherish and what you hold on to, and what you reject. This has to do with how you feel about yourself, with the love that you have for you and for others. This has to do with your stand before God, your desire to please Him. This has to do with eternity. It has to do with all things good. It has to do with how remarkable you want to become. It has to do with toying with things that destroy, that burn, that cause pain, or walking in freedom and deliverance to the point that you're no longer captive to anything. Jesus came that we might be set free from the captive, the things that hold you back, the prisons, the blindness, the darkness, the sicknesses. If we want to walk into that freedom, We have to confront our feelings, our thoughts, and deceptions with the Word. We have to understand that the flaming darts, those arrows, can all be extinguished, every single one of them, and that they're aimed for our mind. And as they come into our mind, we go to the Word, and we pull up the structure of faith. We take a piece of it off, and it's the shield now, and we hold that. And then the darts hit the shield. The first one comes in. Sorry about that. But not the second one. You got it ready then, as you bring up the Word. Every thought captive. The father of lies causes your pain. Destroy that relationship. Remove it from your life. And your behavior will change. You will find yourself easily living according to the agape lifestyle. And you will find that you will not ever have to succumb to torments again. Stop it at the first arrow.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow, thank you, Jared.
You're welcome.